Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You remember what I told you? Wednesday, Solana.
No.
I said I've got the Spielkes. I said about the Panthers series, I really got the Spielkes, and now I definitely have the Spielkes when it comes to the Panthers, and I'm not going to lie to you. I've got the Spielkes over the Heat series as well. It's a Spielkes Friday here on the Hochman and Crowder program. I have no other way to put it. It's a Spielkes Friday. Crowder's got the Spielkes so bad he can't even make it in.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday, nobody was cockier Heat fan than Channing Crowder.
Is that so?
We had two segments where he was telling me about why the Heat were going up 2-0, why Al Horford and Marcus Smart don't change the series.
That's kind of like the way you sounded to me when Joel Embiid was coming back in the Sixers series, and you made this big case to me that I was off yesterday. You made a big case to me a couple weeks ago why Joel Embiid wasn't going to make a difference in the Sixers game, and then they rattled off two wins in a row.
And Channing Crowder had me convinced that the Heat would win by 300 points last night.
Well, I was thinking about it this morning because we sold T-shirts for a couple of years. Solana's got the guts. Would anybody be interested in a shirt? Hochman's got the Spielkes. Because I've got the Spielkes, I'm not going to lie. Crowder, he's in L.A. He's got travel delays. He was trying to be back today. Did the show from L.A. Thursday and Wednesday, and now he's got an issue. I wasn't here yesterday, but Solana's with me. We have a loaded potato on this Friday. It's got sour cream, chives, and Spielkes. So we're going to talk about the Heat today. We're going to talk about the Panthers today. And I would like to crap on Nick Saban, if possible, if we have some time today. I didn't hear any of yesterday's show. I know Dono was filling in. I know you and Crowder were here as well. You were telling me briefly as we were talking outside that Crowder ripped Saban yesterday on the show?
Yeah, he called him out for lacking self-awareness.
Lack of self-awareness, right?
Said it was hypocritical what he was doing, that everybody knows Alabama is not free of any wrongdoing when it comes to getting athletes some sort of money.
Even if you want to pretend that it's not illegal stuff, when you are the Alabama program versus other programs that don't get to spend as much above the table money as Alabama does, then you have an inherent advantage over other programs. It was so lacking in self-awareness what Nick Saban had to say. But my greater point is, I like to crap on Nick Saban when possible because, A, I've never liked him, but, B, was it last summer?
Yeah.
Was last summer that he gave me the three-finger handshake?
We're about a year. We're coming up on that one-year anniversary.
You're right. It's almost the one-year anniversary. Well, he crapped on me last summer. And
that's
so
putting it nicely.
Today, I want to be able to crap on him if it's possible, although – if we get a chance today, we are going to listen to last year when he took a big crap on me. But yeah, I mean, just complete lack of self-awareness. That's exactly who he is. He's the greatest guy in the world if he's always got the advantage. Everybody knows a guy like this, right, in the world? Oh, he's the nicest guy in the world as long as everything goes his way. And the moment something doesn't go his way, oh, it's all rigged against me. Poor me. Sound familiar? Oh, poor me. It's all rigged against me. I have everything, but this now is rigged against me. So let's crap on Nick Saban today. If nothing else, to take our minds off the spilkas that I think we all have over the Heat and the Panthers. So you went to the Heat game last night?
I was there.
Was there a single moment that you were cheering and filled with energy? And
yeah, first 6 minutes.
First 6 minutes of the game.
First 6 minutes, I mean, I was riding high.
Because I texted you last night, if the Heat can cut it to 25, they should play Pepas. You have to move the parameter. So I'm guessing they never played it last night?
Never played Pepas. Yeah. Which I think, by the way, it's not a good move. Just play it at some point.
Well,
right?
I mean, it's embarrassing. That's our celebratory song. It's when you know the game is over, right? They play it when you know the game is over. But it's a little bit like, what, going to see, give me a band. Hootie and the Blowfish in concert. They don't play I Only Want to Be With You. Well, are you really there for the other songs?
It's going to Islands of Adventure and the Hulk is shut down.
Right. It's like, I get it. There's a safety reason. But I'm only here for one day.
Yeah.
It costs me, you know, $1,020 to get into the park. I kind of just, you know, let's just go on it.
Let's wing it and
so
let's see what happens.
I get for someone who has saved all their money for one Heat playoff game, they want to experience the Pepas moment. It's uniquely Miami, and they don't get that moment. But it would have been silly to play that at any point after 6 minutes in that game.
Okay, but here's my rationale with this. The Heat cut it to 17, which in the grand scheme of things is laughable considering they're down 30.
I did text you at that very moment, if they cut it to 15, play Pepas.
Boston calls a timeout. And I was thinking, this is when you play Pepas.
Oh, I got you.
In the third quarter, the only time there's a semblance of hope.
Right. You're never going to have another chance to play it tonight.
Play it now, and maybe you get the crowd to another level, right? Because finally the crowd was starting to get back in. There's Let's Go Heat chants. Like, people are like, okay, this isn't impossible. Cut it to 10 going to the fourth. There's still a chance where the Heat can be back in this game. They come out of the timeout. Back-to-back turnovers, and you blink an eye, and you're down 27
Smart,
again.
Like, hits a three. You're right. That was probably the only chance to play Pepas.
Yep. That was it right there.
And instead, they played Kerncraft 4000. Oh. I don't even think they played that.
No, they did not play that.
Well, can't win them all. Unfortunately, there's a chance that the Panthers won't win any. I know you can't win them all. Listen, this Vasilevsky is a very good goaltender, and if you cannot convert on a single power play. Now, if you're new to hockey, the power play means you've got more skaters, attackers on the ice than the team has defenders. The Panthers are 0-25 on the power play for this playoffs. So how many games did it go against Washington?
Six games.
Six games against Washington. You've had two games against Tampa. Eight postseason games. The Panthers are 0-25 on the power play. That gives Andrew Brunette the Spilkas.
Does Vasilevsky own us at this point?
I've got Vasilevsky nightmares. I've had him for 2 years now, and now it'll be a third year. Well, is what it is. Today, you know, if you remember last Friday, it was a celebratory Friday. This is a Spilkas Friday.
Yeah.
I got the Spilkas.
How do you spell Spilkas?
Spilkas is S-H-P-I. Bill L, I believe K-E-S, Spilkas.
S-C-H,
no, Pilkas. S-H. Threw a C in there. Do you know what the Spilkas is? Your parents ever use that? They got the Spilkas?
Never used it, but I imagine it's the same as having the bubble guts.
Yeah, the Spilkes, it's Yiddish. That's why I thought maybe you'd get it in your house. You're a Uruguayan Jew. Spilkes translates to a state of impatience, agitation, or anxiety, i.e., the job interview tomorrow gives me the Spilkes. I've got the Spilkes.
We've all got the Spilkes right now, Hawk.
All right. We have a loaded potato today. We really do. You want to do headlines here? You want to give us headlines? I hate to recap what happened last night. I guess we have to, but there is a golf tournament going on. I'm sure you'll have a leaderboard update, right?
Of course.
I mean, this could be the time of our lives. Here are headlines on this Spilkes Friday with Alejandro Solana.
The sports update, it's driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Game 3 for the Panthers and Lightning in Tampa Bay is Sunday at 1:30 p.m.
Yeah, 1:30, and, you hate the idea of going to Tampa down 0-2, but you can't change it. So I know it's cliche. It's got to be one game at a time, and I don't know what else to do if they cannot convert on a power play. Because when you have a man advantage against that Tampa team, you have to be able to take advantage of it. They have not been able to do so, and they are in an unfortunate 0-2 hole. But Sunday afternoon, and then it'll be a back-to-back. They'll play Sunday afternoon and then Monday night.
Which is still upsetting to me, by the way. But at least we don't get the Heat and Panthers on the same day, but it's still upsetting.
Right. I will tell you, the benefit is you get a Saturday night Heat game and a Sunday Panthers game. That's pretty cool for the weekend. I'm going to see Sting on Sunday night. Perfect Sunday. Watch the Panthers in the afternoon, Sting on Sunday night. But then the Panthers have to play back-to-back. But, as I've seen many people point out, Tampa also has to play back-to-back.
Yep.
So it's not like it's an unfair advantage. They're both – the reason that they're playing it Sunday afternoon, by the way, was scheduled purposefully by the league to give them as much time as possible between the back-to-back games. Instead of making it Sunday night, which was the original schedule, and then Monday night, it's Sunday afternoon, and then you have to wait till Monday night. So give them a little chance to recuperate.
So as Hawk mentioned, Game 3 for the Heat is tomorrow. It's still like an 8:45 p.m. tip-off in Boston. Have you seen the line yet for this
game? You know, I have not. Have you?
I have.
And?
Boston.
I'm going to say Boston by 3.
Double that.
No.
6.5.
Really?
6.5 point favorites. Remember, we don't know about P.J. Tucker still.
Oh, that's true.
And Kyle Lowry expected to be out once again for Game 3.
Right. And even if he was back, you know it's not going to be at 100%. Wow, 6. Woo. Life comes at you fast.
Do you like that, though? Do you like Heat?
I would take Heat plus 6, but our betting has been so bad. We had a parlay last night with the Panthers and the Heat.
Might as well just throw our money into the ocean, Hawk.
That's what we've done.
Ira did tweet out that the entire Heat roster is traveling to Boston, including Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker, and we're expecting the injury report later today.
All right.
Inter Miami, they host the New York Red Bulls on Sunday at DrivePink Stadium. The Marlins begin a 3-game series tonight versus the World Series champion Atlanta Braves. Trevor Rogers, our guy, expected to start.
T-Rog, it's our dude.
The only winner last night in South Florida, Canes baseball. They beat Notre Dame in the first game of a 3-game series. Game 2 is tonight, 7 p.m. at the Light.
All right.
Western Conference Finals, Game 2 tonight. Warriors, they host the Mavericks. Warriors, a 6-point favorite at home. It's a 9 p.m. tip-off.
I like Dallas. I don't know if you know. I feel
you're riding Dallas. I mean, nobody's put more money on the Mavs other than you and Mark Cuban in the playoffs.
I may have put more money into the Mavs by now than Mark Cuban has.
Can't wait to lose some more money tonight betting the Mavs to cover 6. But I do kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. I do kind of like it, Hawk.
You see? You came around on it.
And our leaderboard updates aren't sponsored today, but...
Is that so?
Justin Thomas is in the lead right now. He's 6 under. Rory McIlroy is in second But he has not teed off yet. He'll tee off in like 20 minutes.
Right.
Justin Thomas teed off about an hour ago, a little less than an hour ago. He's 3 under on today.
I don't think Tiger's teed off today yet either. He's 4 over, but
he's 4 over.
I'd like to see him make the cut. If he could have a decent round today, make the cut, at least I could watch him, you know, over the weekend.
And he appeared to be limping yesterday after a chip that didn't go well in a bunker, so something to keep an eye on.
Got the spilkus.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 866-954 more. It is partly cloudy today, but very hot outside, very humid. It's a South Florida afternoon.
It's a South Florida afternoon. Very well put.
That's your weather.
All right. Brian Geltzeiler from NBA Radio, NBA TV. He's going to join us next. We will talk some Heat and NBA playoffs with him. We do have a loaded potato today, so do not go anywhere. I know you got the spilkas. It's a Friday. A couple of bad losses last night. I think Solana tweeted it out yesterday, right? This date will go down in infamy as one of the worst South Florida sports nights ever. Right? What was it? May 19th yesterday? Yeah.
It
was
one of the worst. Mark it down.
One of the worst South Florida sports nights ever. So it is what it is. We'll get through it. We'll get through it together. I'll tell you what, by 6 o'clock, no one's going to have the spilkas. The guts will be back.
I hope so.
Right now, you got the spilkas. We'll have the guts back. Brian Geltzeiler, he'll join us next here.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Arriba, pa bajo, pa centro, pa entro.
Arriba, banana, Rodrigo, arepa.
Hawk and Crowder.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. A little chicken teriyaki on your Spilkas Friday. Giving you a chance to see the greatest show above Earth, the Hyundai Air and Sea Show. In Miami Beach, Memorial Day weekend, featuring technology and equipment from all 5 branches of the military, plus a concert with 3 Doors Down. If you want to enter the contest, you can go to WQAM.com, or you can go to theticketmiami.com and register to win right there. Very easy, and it's a great prize. All right. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us here, and we love talking hoops with Geltze. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Brian Geltzeiler can be heard on NBA radio on Sirius XM. He can be seen oftentimes on NBA TV. And I got to tell you, with the Heat and the Panthers last night, Geltze, I've got the Spilkus, and I'm trying to work my way through it. So I'm curious what you think of last night's Heat game. And then you look back at game one, where the Heat handled their business against Boston. Which game was a better representation of what we can expect the remainder of the Eastern Conference Finals? You know, game one, where the Heat looked like world beaters, or game two, where the Heat didn't even look like they belonged out there?
I hate to say it, Hawk, and I'm going to give you the reason why, but if I had to pick one or the other, it'd be game two. And a couple reasons why. Number one, I think it's safe to assume we're going to see Marcus Smart on the floor the rest of the series, and he was honestly the best player for the Celtics yesterday. I don't care the fact that Tatum scored more points. He was the best player on their team by a large margin. And when you look at what Miami did in game one to take advantage of Smart's absence and how they exploited Peyton Pritchard every second he was on the floor, somewhat reminiscent to what we saw in the bubble in 2020 with what they did to Kemba Walker. They destroyed Pritchard when he was on the floor in game one. Having Smart out there made an enormous difference for them. And, you know, listen, Marcus Smart played a huge game. He played fantastic. The other thing that distressed me about the Heat was how poorly they defended. And obviously they were a better defensive team in game one. Smart, the defensive player of the year in the league, but not a bad offensive player. And the point guard on this team, who the engine that makes things go. But what makes me think last night may have been more representative is I don't know how good this injury situation is with P.J. Tucker. And he's supposed to have an MRI today. We'll probably get some kind of results here sometime soon to know what the deal is with him. This is a very, very important player to what Miami does defensively. Certainly a very important player to what they'll do in this series defensively. And it's going to force Jimmy. One of the reasons Jimmy Butler is able to be as dominant as he is because they don't always give him the toughest defensive assignment. They save him for offense, and he's an excellent help defender, and he guards whoever he guards very well. But now you're going to be in a spot where you're going to have to thrust Butler into having that Tatum matchup a lot more than he would have to without P.J. Tucker there. So it's those two factors to me are major factors for Miami. I'm very, very concerned long-term in this series about Miami's defense. And it's funny because if you had asked me what I was worried about vis-a-vis the Miami Heat before the series began, Hawk, my answer would be, can they score enough? Is their offense good enough? But now we are two games in. They're at 1-1. Boston, you know, pulled home court advantage away from them at this point. And what I'm worried about Miami is their ability to defend, and I didn't think I was going to have to worry about that.
So when you look at the two games, it was two games in three nights, essentially, and both in Miami, and two dramatically different games. The biggest X factor to you was Marcus Smart then. Right. I mean, because how could I'm watching last night. And it's like, how can two games play out so dramatically different with just a 1 day break in between the two? And I understand we've seen it, you know, before. All of a sudden that game seven with Phoenix and Dallas. Phoenix looks like a completely different team than they've looked all season. But it's Marcus Smart. It's Marcus Smart out on the court.
Marcus Smart almost had a triple double last night and played the typical fantastic defense that he plays. He had 24 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. He was a plus 31 for his time on the floor. He was 5 of 12 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He was a force on the floor last night. He, again, Boston's best player. And to me, that's the variable right there. That's the one that you look at and say, hey, Smart, and the Smart's not going to play that well every game. We understand that. But he is going to play that well defensively every game. That's who he is. And to me, Miami struggle. Listen, they're going to struggle to score a little bit against Boston regardless. Boston may be the best defensive team I've seen in the playoffs and in this league since the 04 Pistons. That's how good I think they are defensively. So, which is where my concerns came from Miami scoring the basketball. But last night it was a widespread defensive failure. And Tucker not being himself there makes a huge difference. You know, listen, and Kyle Lowry is an older player. But Kyle Lowry brings a toughness on both ends of the floor, on selfishness on offense, and a leadership aspect there. And defensively, he can set a tone as well. And now you turn around, no Lowry, not sure when he's coming back. And now you're going to have no Tucker. you know, you're putting a lot more pressure on guys that just haven't been in this spot before. And listen, I'm a big Max Strus fan, as you know. I think Gabe Vincent's played very well for them in Lowry's place. I don't think you can say anything bad about him. But these guys in this spot in this series against the Boston team that, let's face it, for a young team, the Celtics have a whole lot of guys with playoff experience. For Tatum and Brown, this is their fourth conference final in the last 5 years. I mean, they continue to go to these conference finals. You know, Smart is a younger player anymore. I mean, he's in his upper 20s, but he's got a lot of conference final experience. Al Horford's 35. He's been around this block a bunch of times. You know, and right now, listen, as when you look at Miami and you pull Tucker and Lowry from this mix, as good as Jimmy B is, as good as Bam is, this becomes a very, very big mountain for them to climb. And last night, having, you know, Grant Williams played better than Robert Williams last night. Robert Williams only played 19 minutes, but he's almost an unused defensive weapon that they haven't really unleashed yet for Boston. Boston's got a couple more cards to play here, and I don't know that Miami has that in terms of the guys they're bringing off their bench. And you know, this may be where it runs out for Miami right here. And again, with Lowry and Tucker healthy, I think we look at a different series. Without those two players, I think it's a really, really tough mountain for the Heat to climb right now.
Guilty, I'm with you. I mean, no PJ and no Kyle. I think last night was the first time the Heat really evidently missed Kyle Lowry, what he can provide offensively, especially in the pick and roll with Bam Adebayo. But, you know, you mentioned Marcus Smart. I mean, defensively, Jimmy Butler still got 29 points. I think he shot 60%, and he didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but as great as the Celtics are, and I'm with you, defensively, there's no doubt they're the superior team. But at the end of the day, can it be as simple as the Celtics went 20 for 40 from three? And as great as they are and as many weapons as they are, I mean, that beats anybody in the NBA. Are they able to do that consistently? 20 of 40 against the Heat in another game this series? Man, it's tough to see that happening again.
Shalani, you watched that game last night. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the Miami Heat played good three-point defense last night?
They didn't, and I don't think they were prepared for what the Celtics were going to do with Al Horford and having him down in the low block and the way that they were just doubling when they didn't need to double. I think that led to a lot of open looks for the Celtics.
A mountain open looks. That's exactly it. And if the Celtics don't have those open looks, it's safe to say they probably don't go 20 of 40 from three. And that's my disappointment here with Miami. Miami looked like an inexperienced defensive team last night. And can they turn that around? Sure, they can turn that around. But you're still what I'm talking about doesn't change without Lowry and Tucker. You're now counting on a lot of very inexperienced players in these kinds of situations to have to make very good split-second decisions. Like, he should never be doubling Al Horford in the post. God bless. That's the least of anything that Boston's going to do to you badly, is give the ball to Al Horford in the post. You make sure you stay at home on your shooters, make him make a move, and live with the results. I mean, but Miami was kind of running around like chickens without heads last night. And for Boston, who's become a really good team at moving the ball around the perimeter, I mean, what was the big criticism of Boston, you know, in January when they were 17 and 19, or end of December when they were 17 and 19? Well, they had too much isolation play. Ball didn't move well. Is that a problem now? Ball's flying around the court right now. So if you are disorganized, if you're not where you need to be defensively, if you make mistakes like deciding to double-team guys that don't need to be double-teamed, you're going to have a problem. And listen, the interesting stat about the Celtics last night, 43 made baskets, 28 assists on 43 made baskets. The ball's moving. They're not playing a ton of isolation basketball anymore. And the thing for Miami, what does that take? It takes discipline defensively. They were really undisciplined. So I would say this. Listen, Boston shot it well last night. There's no doubt. But I'll say 20 of 40 from three is much more of a product of poor defense by the Heat, disorganized defense by the Heat, than it is hot shooting for the Celtics.
Brian Geltzeiler from NBA Radio is with us. Just out of curiosity, Geltzy, who did you have before the series started? Did you think the Boston Celtics were going to win the series?
I did. I took Boston at six. I'm very high on Boston Hawk, and I have all the respect in the world for the Miami Heat. There's something to me special about this Celtics team, about the way the whole thing has come together. You know, it was interesting. One of the biggest issues that this Celtics team had coming, you know, the last couple of seasons, certainly coming into this season, was this whole little, you know, kind of covert alpha dog war between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart, in airing all of this stuff publicly earlier in the season, kind of solved that, because he got through to both of those guys that you're going to have to be more unselfish. And they both started to be more unselfish. But what it unlocked for Tatum was something that it could never unlock for Brown. I've always been a very big Jaylen Brown guy. I think he's a terrific player. But even Jaylen Brown had to acknowledge who Jason Tatum has become in this league. And so the whole hierarchy of who gets the ball in big spots, it all fell into place organically. And maybe organically is the wrong word, because it took Marcus Smart airing them out publicly to kind of get everybody into line, and Ime Udoka giving him full support in doing that. But so I look at how that worked out for Boston, and then you see the fact, because here's the other part of Tatum that I think is so important to understand. Tatum has become a really, really good defensive player, like a really good defensive player. Look what he did to Durant in the first round. Who does that to Kevin Durant? I mean, he would mauled him off the ball. And I'm not saying mauled him in a bad way. I mean, if I was Steve Nash, I would have carried on and complained about it. He really didn't, but he did a fantastic job on him. You know, listen, Butler has become a guy that's very hard for Tatum to guard. And we saw it in game one. The Celtics did not want to switch the screens because they didn't want to have Pritchard have to be stuck on Butler and give Butler a half step, and he's by Tatum. And Butler, because of what he does in the mid-range, what he does at the rim, the game was easy for him in game one. And frankly, to your point, Solana, the game was easy for him last night also in terms of getting what he wanted offensively. But the thing is, and the formula the Celtics are looking at here is, hey, you know what? If we worry about shutting everybody else down, we know Jimmy Butler's, I'm not going to say good enough, a great enough player that he's going to get his. But we think we can shut down the Bam Adebayos of the world, the Max Strus's, the Tyler Heroes. You know, and again, Hero only 11 shots in the set, 11 points on 11 shots. From an efficiency standpoint, that's not going to do it. And I think where you're seeing Miami struggle here, and where I thought they may struggle in the series, was having a second scorer that could do things. But again, what I didn't count on was a full mental and emotional collapse on the defensive end of the floor last night.
Bam went to the free throw line once last night. Wow.
One. 6 points. Six points on six shots.
Yeah. I mean, crazy.
There's so many times, guys, there's so many times that he falls into these patterns of just not being aggressive enough. And it's almost like you want somebody to grab him and shake him and be like, Bam, do you know how goddamn good you are? Like, it's just, he fades into the background sometimes. He's, you know, for a guy that has all this star quality, and I'm not talking, listen, defensively, he's fantastic. But for a guy that's got all this star quality on the offensive end of the floor, he's just too passive and too timid and doesn't necessarily want to impose his will in the game as frequently as he should. He doesn't. And in these spots, there is no excuse for Bam Adebayo to play this game last night and only take six shots. I get you want to play within the framework of the game. I get you want to let the game come to you. I understand you have this, you know, this center of the earth kind of scorer on your team in Jimmy Butler. It doesn't matter. He needs that kind of support. And for Bam, you need to see a much more aggressive offensive player if the Heat are going to have a chance in a series.
As much as I do want to see a more aggressive Bam, and I'm with you, Galtzy. Like, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying there. And 6 points on six shots, I mean, he didn't play the entire fourth quarter, so sometimes we forget that as well. A lot less minutes than he typically does. But my thing with Bam is that people, when the Heat lose, especially down here in Miami, they look to Bam, they look at that number, and they say, well, he needs to do more offensively. And I think what they're expecting is for him to turn into Joel Embiid. And that's just not his game. He is not a face-up four naturally, and he doesn't have the moves down low in the post that can get him easy looks. It does take a team effort to get Bam Adebayo easy looks, but I'm with you in terms of crashing the boards, offensive putbacks. That's where he needs to be the aggressor, impose his will, as you said, but not get the ball at the top of the key and go isolation, because I think it gets lost there. People want to see that from him, but it's not his game. It's not what he's done, and it's not how he's been successful in his career.
No, but and listen, this isn't necessarily all about Bam's points either, Solana. All right, so 28 minutes he played. He had 6 points on six shots. We know that. As Hawk said, he only had one free throw attempt. You know, one of the formulas to me of Bam playing very well in this series and helping them out is going to be the 0.5 stuff. Bam bringing the ball up, Bam initiating offense in the half court, Bam coming out on the perimeter for dribble handoffs, and then using an opportunity on the fake handoffs to break things down off the bounce. There was none of that last night. There was none of that at all. Here, I'll tell you something else, which is very odd for Bam Adebayo with 28 minutes of play. No steals, no blocks. So when we talk about a more aggressive version of Bam, it's not just about Bam shooting the ball. It's about making an impact on the game. Points are almost the least of it, Solana. We're not, it's not that. No steals, no blocks. Like, he's just, he's, there's something missing from him in terms of his energy levels here. And I get it. You fall behind 25 points in the first half, and everybody becomes a deer in the headlights to a certain extent. But listen, this is not what the Suns did in Game 7. That's not who the Heat are. That's not in their DNA. And don't get me wrong, they got their butts kicked last night. They kept playing hard. They kept fighting. They did what they could do. But what I'll say about this with Bam, there has to be more will and more focus to do the things that you do well on the court. It's not about, you know, I hear what you're saying, what fans want him to be, Joel Embiid. We know he's never going to be that. We know he's not that. That's not what this is about. This is about Bam being a much more aggressive, better version of who he is, of Bam Adebayo, and not necessarily having to do things he doesn't normally do. But two assists, okay, in 28 minutes when he's got the ball in his hands as much on the perimeter as he does, okay, no steals, no blocks. Guys, this is the guy who freaked out and went nuts because he wasn't a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. And again, I know those are just numbers and those are just stats, but believe me when I tell you, in this particular scenario, those numbers and those stats indicate a player that wasn't even close to as aggressive as he needs to be for them.
I want to dig into something here for a second. Solana, you started your question with, I'm not disagreeing with you, Geltsy, and uh-huh. You went above and beyond it.
Right.
Are you afraid of him?
Geltsy just so much smarter than me.
I'm thinking physically. Like, do you think Brian Geltzeiler could kick your ass?
I think Geltsy could definitely kick my ass.
You get into fights, Geltsy? You sound like you get into fights.
you put me on the spot, huh? I will say this. In my older years, as I advance in age, I'm doing a lot less of those types of things. With all that said, I've been known to use physical intimidation at times if I feel as though that's the advantageous strategy for what I'm trying to execute in the moment. How did that come across?
You're okay? Not a guy that if somebody accidentally throws a shoulder into you because they're trying to get to their seat and they think you might be taking up a little too much real estate, you are not a guy that'll say, my bad. They're going to get an elbow in their neck if they put a shoulder in your chest.
Yeah, generally that tends to happen, but I also don't like necessarily to advance things there either. And, you know, I try to act my age, and, you know, I had a situation down the Jersey Shore a few years back where that happened with my brother-in-law, who's not, doesn't necessarily have my physical stature, and a guy that was significantly bigger than him and a little bigger than me certainly wanted a piece of him because my brother-in-law ran his mouth in the moment. And I turned around and I looked at the guy and I said, you're going to walk away right now. And the guy kind of looked me in the eye and looked it up and down and he said, all right. And he walked away. That worked, right?
That's what happens to Crowder with me, because I've got a big mouth, but physically I cannot back it up. And I know that I can't. So Crowder ends up taking the brunt of it for me. It gives
me. The other thing you got to understand about me is, listen, I'm 6 feet tall, and I'm a broad 6 feet. You know, I'm wide, and I definitely, you know, I'm definitely a thick six-footer. I grew up in a house where one of my older brothers is 6'5", and he is was never a skinny 6'5". He is a big, big dude. So my point is, I got my backside kicked plenty of times, Hawk. I knew how to get it kicked. I can take a punch. And I learned over the years how to hang in there and be able to hold my own with a guy that size. So that's, you know, that kind of helps me in these situations. And people kind of look at me in these spots and I think to myself, I probably could take him, but I'm not sure I necessarily want the battle that it's going to take to get there. So I've almost made a living out of that in those kind of situations, if you know what I mean.
Right, because the guys that you don't mess with are the guys that you know are willing to get their ass kicked. And you,
that
like, that's the right mind frame. If you're willing to get, hey, sometimes I'm going to get my ass kicked, but I'm not going down without a fight. Like, those are the guys you don't want to mess with. So I would imagine, Solana, you feel good now that you prefaced your question by saying I'm not disagreeing with you now that you know where Geltzeiler's stands on this.
I knew.
And let me say this first before Solana says this. Solana, you can disagree with me as much as you want, and I promise you that it's never going there with you and I, buddy, all right? So don't you worry.
Well, what if he puts a shoulder in your chest? If he puts a shoulder in your chest, is it going there then?
Here's what I'll say about Solana. He's far too smart to do that.
I don't think you know him well enough.
I think you're overestimating.
I think, in fact, it's the opposite. He's smart, just not smart enough to know not to do that.
I'm giving him credit.
Brian Gelchi, real quick here. Of the four teams remaining, who would be the dream NBA Finals matchup, in your opinion?
You know, I think a Golden State-Boston matchup would be a lot of fun. I really do. With that said, I think somehow getting Tatum and Luka both at these young ages on the same floor would also be a very, very exciting final. But I think the Celtics and their whole mystique and history and who they've been to this league over the years versus Steph Curry, who really, you know, one of the things that I get fascinated with in these NBA finals is when you get guys that are potentially on the all-time great list playing for legacy. Like Steph Curry getting a fourth title and a second one without Durant, 7 years separated from the first one he won without Durant, to me would put him in a spot where when you look at all-time great lists and Kobe and Duncan are sitting there maybe on the back end of the top 10, Steph gets a lot closer to those guys all of a sudden with a fourth title here, a second one without Durant, and certainly higher than Durant on any of these lists. So I think when you talk about a dream NBA final, Steph Curry playing for some all-time great legacy to me is beyond compelling. So I'd probably say a Golden State-Boston final would be the dream final for the league. Hey, listen, the right now for the league, and the ratings are fantastic, by the way. Best ratings since 2014, which was LeBron's last year with the Heat. The ratings have been fantastic. The longer Steph Curry stays on the floor, the happier this league is going to be and the TV partners are going to be.
Real quick, I've been high on Dallas all season, certainly all playoffs. I bet them plus 5 or 5.5 game one. Obviously, that was a bad bet. I am tempted to bet them again tonight, plus 6. Do you like Dallas getting the points tonight?
I do. I like Dallas in game one also, but I thought Golden State played a very smart defensive strategy. I thought Wiggins played Luka a lot better than I thought he would. I thought forcing Dallas into a whole lot of threes and taking away two-pointers from them was a strategy that worked very well for Golden State. I mean, 7 of 29 from three in the first half, huh? I mean, crazy, 3 of 19 in the first quarter. They invited them to shoot threes, and Dallas struggled to hit them. Now, what happens? Dallas starts to make some of these threes, and we're talking about a very, very different basketball game, and I think Dallas will shoot the ball better. The other thing I think you'll see tonight out of Dallas offensively, and I'm not terribly worried about Dallas defensively, Hawk. To your point, I like them a lot defensively, and I think they actually did okay in game one on that end of the floor, regardless of the result. I think offensively, I want to see the ball in Brunson's hands a little bit more and not everything being so Luka-centric. Because whether Luka has the ball in his hands or he doesn't, he is going to be the focus of the defense. And I really think they need to have someone else to get going in a big way, whether it's some of the stuff Finney Smith did in the Phoenix series with a 24-point game, whether it's what we saw out of Brunson, you know, in that series and in the first-round series against Utah. They need another supporting guy. It's where they missed Tim Hardaway, quite frankly. They need another supporting guy offensively to support Luka there. You're not going to get that with the ball being in Luka's hands exclusively. I know it's got to be in his hands a lot, but I would look for more creating out of Brunson, a little more of Luka running offense through him at the elbows, trying to get Luka the ball in the paint. You want to pull Luka and Brunson off the arc a little bit tonight if you're Dallas and compress Golden State's defense a little bit because you want the threes to be a little bit more high quality.
Geltzeiler, you're the best. Have a great weekend, man.
You too, guys. Always my pleasure. Right back at you both.
There you go. Brian Geltzeiler, NBA Radio and NBA TV. Let's take a break. Solana's sweating. He thinks he might be getting into a physical altercation with Geltzy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
He's calm, collected, has a will to win because his name, of course, is Wade Jones.
Hawk and Crowder.
And boom, there we are.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This hour of Huck and Crowder is sponsored by Florida Lumber. Even in these unsettling times, South Floridians can count on Florida Lumber for their construction supplies. Call or visit floridalumber.com today to see just why Florida Lumber is more than just lumber.
You want to see loco?
Whoa.
So a brand new episode of Solana TV dropped yesterday. A surprise episode of Solana TV in honor of Mario Chalmers' birthday. Now, I thought it was brilliant. I mean, it is so difficult to keep putting out episode after episode after episode of brilliance, and it's what Solana is doing on Solana TV. Did Mario Chalmers like or retweet your homage to him?
He did not.
Really? Because I know he was tagged on it. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to look like he's endorsing the fact that he believes he would be the greatest number six in Miami Heat history.
Maybe, but I think Rio knows he's the greatest number six in Heat history.
But maybe he wants to play it a little low-key.
Not trying to take unsolicited shots at LeBron James.
If you haven't seen the new episode yesterday from Solana TV, Alex M. Solana on Instagram or Twitter, it is brilliance personified. He's walking around Bayside and he's got, you know, people in Heat unis and he's asking them the greatest number six in Heat history, and you just watch it from there. Just watch from there. The editing is perfect. It is very well done. Another banger episode of Solana TV. So we have a loaded potato on the Hockman and Crowder simulcast today. Unfortunately, we've got the Spilkus. It's a Spilkus Friday. We'll take a quick break. Hockman and Crowder simulcast begins next.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show. Hock and Crowder.
Breaking news on AM 560 Sports WQAM is brought to you by the Beat the Steak podcast. Every day, get an inside edge on how...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.